Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Kia ora koutou and welcome to Red Alert. My name's Christine O'Brien and I'm a member of the Māngere o Tāhu Local Board. And we'll be talking about youth representation in South Auckland. It's a real hot topic for South Auckland, where the youth population is enormous. In fact, in my local board area, about 50% of our population is under 24. But before we move into that, I just wanted to let you know a little bit more about the Anzac Day commemorations coming up next week. We've had quite a lot of inquiries from the public trying to figure out what's going on. And the issue is that after the terror attacks in Christchurch, there's been a period of high alert. And the usual thinking is that it's about 4 to 6 weeks where there are risks of copycat attacks and so forth. It's actually the security intelligence agencies that set the risk, the security risk at high or moderate or low. And then the police respond. So while we stay at high alert, which we're currently in, the police are obligated to provide protection at large gatherings and to secure community protection in other ways. And that's why you'll see that this year the number of Anzac Day events, commemorations around Auckland, the civic events, have been reduced from 84 to 25. And that is so that police can guarantee security for the RSA Auckland Council civic events. So in South Auckland, the Auckland Domain events, I should say, in Central Auckland are both going ahead. But in South Auckland, there's a reduced number of dawn services. So there will be a service at Pukekohe, assemble at 5:40 a.m. At Papakura, assemble at 5:40 a.m. And at the Manukau Gardens, the normal Manukau ward dawn services going ahead, assemble at 5:50 a.m. for 6 a.m. Then in terms of the big civic services during the day, there is one at Mount Wellington, assemble at 9:15 for a service at 10 a.m. in the usual spot. At Pukekohe, assemble at 10:30 for service at 11 a.m. In Otahuhu, the service is going ahead at the Horseman Monument on Great South Road, which many of you will know about. The parade assembly is at 9:15 and the service will be at 9:30. And the people from Māngere Bridge, Papatoetoe, Otara in our area are all invited along to that service. And lastly, in Papakura, there will be assembly at 8:15 for a civic service at 9 a.m. Now, a number of the community services, such as the Niue and the Tonga and the Cook Island services, are making their own decisions. And if that's a service that you normally go to, then I'd advise that you contact the organisation to see where they're at in terms of their own security and arrangements for the community. Right, so we're now going to move on to talking about youth representation in Auckland. And as I say, we have a very young population, and at local board and at MP level, we're very interested in incorporating youth voice and helping shape the future using the views of young people, because after all, the future is now, the future is theirs, and it's a little bit problematic to be constantly making decisions without that kind of input. So I'm very lucky to have with me today the Manukau East Youth MP, Chanel Lau. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Christine. Thank you for having me here today.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. So people probably aren't aware that every 3 years, every parliamentary term, each list MP and each electorate MP selects a youth representative who becomes the youth MP and has their own term of, I think, is it 6 months?
Yeah, six months.
6 months to represent their community, and as part of that, works with the community beforehand, undergoes training, and then goes to Parliament and actually goes through the process of debating bills, running select committees, passing laws, and undertaking general debates, so you get a complete overview of the process. So, Chanel, I guess the first question is, why did you want to become a youth MP?
That's a really good question. I think for me, as an immigrant, a person of colour, and a member of the Rainbow community, I find myself in a position of great social and political injustice. And I can't voice my opinions and struggles like an ordinary person. I need to scream to be heard. And that is a result of a government that's failing its people, a government that's not listening to its people, and a government that needs urgent change. I'm passionate about decolonizing our government to remove the systems that fundamentally and systematically oppress minority groups. In New Zealand, we have a disconnection between minority youth and the government, and I think the government isn't doing much to engage them, and it is making it really easy for the youth to fall out of the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
And I am passionate about representing this youth at the highest level possible so I can make a government that represents the needs of its people, a government that is accessible, progressive, and listens to all.
That's fantastic. So change from within, so fundamental and organic change within the system, and throwing off the elements of the system that actually have been causing these biases and these prejudices. So that's really interesting, and that just to try and unpack a little bit of what you've said, because you've said such a lot there in such a short space of time. Do you want to just tell me a little bit more about yourself, because you have clearly feel yourself as representative of a number of communities? So do you want to just, should we just wind it back a little bit, tell me a little bit about Chenille and who you are and where you've come from and where you currently are?
I'm 19 years old. And I moved to New Zealand when I was 14 years old with my family. I'm currently an international student, which makes it really difficult for me to be able to study in New Zealand, because it is quite expensive to do so.
Mm.
While I was in high school, I've been involved in my community, and I've been a part of a lot of things, such as a student librarian, a youth health council member, and I'm currently a part of Labanesia. And all of these things have one thing in common. It's youth-led, and it's for the youth. With Labanesia, what's really important is that it's bi-Pacific, for Pacific, and what we do is we aim to engage our Pacifica people, our brothers and sisters, in a way that is reflective of their values and accessible. I'm also a part of the Minister of Education's Youth Advisory Group. What we do as a group, we are 12 young people, and what we do is advise the Minister of Education on the things that the ministry is carrying out, so when it comes out to the public, it is accessible to the youth and to everyone.
So I believe you were appointed while you were still at Otahuhu College to that body. So is your sort of term on that advisory body continuing after you've left school?
Yes. Mm. You're allowed to be in the group until you're 18 years old as of the previous year. So I was 18 years old on December 31st last year, so I get to continue this year. However, I will not be in the group next year.
Right, so you get a whole extra year, in fact, because your birthday's on the 31st. That's very cunning. And just for the listeners, just wanted to add in that I was very impressed. I was actually part of the selection process for the Manukau East Youth MP, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I was very impressed by your CV, because it appears that you're part of musical groups, you're part of sporting groups.
Yes.
I think you turn your hand to most things while you're at Otahuhu College.
Yes. I mean, I've learned this many years ago. I can't sing, but I really wanted to be involved in the creative arts side of school, because I was doing well academically, so I decided to become the manager of our school's choir, and then I joined a dance group, which was for a hip-hop dance competition. We didn't win, but it was a really good opportunity for me to learn about other things.
Excellent. So you've turned your hand to anything in an attempt to sort of join in and to represent. That's amazing. So people can begin to sort of get the idea about why we're very interested when your CV came in during the application process. But actually, there were a very large number of responses from schools and from younger tertiary students throughout the Manukau East area. So an electorate MP's youth MP has to live or go to school in the area and has to be under a certain age, as at the middle of the year before the year they're selected. And the process for selecting the MP started in the middle of 2018 and then sort of culminated in a very public selection around October last year. So do you just want to talk a little bit about the selection process and what happened and how you found that?
Absolutely. I heard about the group. I heard about the role of the youth MP through my group of youth advisory group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked it up and I was like, okay, who's my MP? Because I didn't know at the time.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
So I found out that I was in under the electorate house, Manukau East, and then I got in touch with the electorate office and I said, I'm interested in this role. Could you send me the application details? And that was really easy and fast. And I think the whole process was really public and accessible. And I was sent the application form. I wrote down what I was passionate about, what I was interested in. I sent my CV in. And a couple of days later, the office got back to me and said, you've been listed as one of the finalists. You have to come and do a speech about what you think is the most important issue that our young people are facing. And we did. And I'm really glad I was selected as the youth MP on the day.
Yes. See, so it was a highly contested, very contested spot. And what was the, just for the audience, what was the issue that you chose to speak about that you're most passionate about?
I chose the topic of youth well-being because I know that we live in a community where if you break your arm, people will run to sign your cast. But if you tell them you're depressed, they'll run away.
Mm.
There's a lot of stigma, there's a lot of ignorance, and people are just too prideful to speak about it. And I think what we really need to do is acknowledge that we have an issue, because if we don't do that, you're not going to get to the solution.
Absolutely. And so in terms of, you've got that particular interest, which is the passionate interest that you brought to the table in your selection process. You've now had training, started to train as a youth MP in order to go down to Parliament in the middle of the year. So can you perhaps talk us through a little bit about what the training is and whether you've found that this is going to be a way you can express that particular passionate interest that you have?
The training was mostly surrounded around educating us rather than saying, this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It told us, this is how the government works, this is how the Parliament works, and it also just made us more confident in being able to participate. One thing that I was able to reaffirm is that a lot of young people are concerned about well-being. Youth well-being turns out to be the biggest priority.
Mm.
Let's take the education summits last year for an example. At both education summits, what we had was young people saying that youth well-being was their number one priority.
Absolutely. So you found, in fact, that as you get together with other youth MPs from around this region at this stage, that's really high on their radar as well.
Yep.
Yeah. That's really exciting. And so in terms of the process, what happens next?
We have, after the training in person, now we have an online training where we might be able to ask our questions, and I think we'll be trained more on how to debate a bill, how to take part in general debating, and how to ask a question. Although those things have a date, we have a Facebook group where we are able to ask the organizers any questions that we have at any time, and they will get back to you. And then in July, we have the event, which is a two-day event, where young people will take over the Parliament and the ministers just get to sit back. It's going to be a showdown. It's going to be the Hunger Games of youth voice.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really looking forward to that. So at the moment, you're basically being the youth MP, but you're sort of finding your way through how to present your issues, what you're going to take to Parliament, what your community is thinking.
Yes.
And you're able to be mentored by various other people in the community, plus there's a support group, a Facebook support group. Is that how it's going? So in terms of the bills, so you're going to go down and debate a bill. So does every youth MP, given it's only a two-day parliamentary term, when the House will be sitting, the youth MP House, does everyone get to take a bill? How does that work?
Everyone gets to speak, but not everyone gets to debate the bill.
Mm-hmm.
We have three options that we get to select from. You can ask the minister a question. You can take part in general debate, which is you as a youth MP raising up any issue that you are concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get to be a part of the legislative debate. You get to prioritize which one you want to be a part of. I personally chose general debate because the bill that was chosen was sustainable energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that is my biggest priority. I would rather raise concerns on other things that are happening in South Auckland than debate sustainable energy.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to go into the general debate and talk about youth wellbeing and about mental health for young people?
That is one thing that I've considered. I've also considered talking about our justice system and how it can be quite oppressive towards our Pacifica brothers and sisters.
Okay. So a couple of things on the radar then. And how are you, how are you going to progress your thinking about which one to take forward and what views to express?
I am planning to do a youth fauna with my elected office, where I will invite young people from my community and to come in and tell me what they think their priorities are. And from there, what I can do is produce a document that will tell me, this is what the young people of my community want.
Mm-hmm.
And it will also be a good way of me finding out if what I think the priorities are really the priorities. And from that, I will develop my speech, work with Jenny and see where I go from there.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. So you're coming hard up against one of the sort of big philosophical questions of being elected to represent somebody, aren't you? Because that's a very big question about whether the community elects you because they like your views or whether they elect you to represent entirely their views. And if you take the latter position, how do you find out what the community is thinking? How do you listen to them and refine their views?
That's a good question. I always tell myself that becoming a minister or a member of a parliament is quite a greedy job,
yeah,
because you're willing to put someone's basic human right because of democracy. And I personally would not do that. I will not put someone's basic human right on the line because a majority of people think it's the right thing to do. That is where it gets really complicated, because I'm trying to represent my community in the best way.
Yeah.
But I also have morals and values that I cannot go against.
Yes. And that's partly, of course, why you are selected and why people have put their faith and trust in you to represent them. So you're bringing a lot of diversity to the table and a lot of passion and support for what you perceive as minority or marginalised groups within our system. And so that would play a large role in why actually you're there in the first place. So balancing all of this is going to be a very interesting exercise for you, I imagine. So when you go down to Parliament, I've gathered there's also a parliamentary youth press gallery is going to be there.
But absolutely.
So how were they? Have you met those people yet, or are they training in another stream to you?
Every press gallery member has been assigned 5 youth MPs. So this press gallery member gets a report on 5 individual youth MPs and the projects that they're doing and who they are, basically. So I've met my youth MP, who's Paolo Aquino, and we've engaged together at our training. He was there at our training, and then we've been in touch through Facebook. He's writing a portfolio on me, and I would invite him to the youth forum so he can report on that.
Oh, fantastic. And so where will that be published? Can members of the public follow the outcome of all of this? Is it on the parliamentary youth website? Or
hopefully, I believe that my youth press gallery member has his own YouTube channel, and I believe that he would be potentially looking into starting his own way of publishing it out. However, if there is an opportunity to publish it on the Youth Parliament website,
yes,
that will be really good for people who don't have a platform already.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And certainly keep my eyes peeled for his YouTube channel, because that sounds like it's going to be fascinating as we get towards the middle of the year. So just moving on a little bit further, I'm just wondering, middle of last year, you heard about Parliament, you got excited and you thought, here's an opportunity for me to really make some change and to get some experience in how I can make that happen. You're now partway through the training. How are you feeling about the process now? Has your idea about what you could achieve through, say, parliamentary forum changed at all yet? Or is it the same, or reinforced your views?
I mean, one thing that I've really learned from the process is that I'm very privileged. I'm privileged to have this opportunity, and I'm privileged to be here today.
Yeah.
And I know that there are other young people that are fighting for the basic things in life as I speak to you.
Yeah.
And that's something that's really humbled me. And I think the process is teaching me that I have to put my personal opinions aside and listen to other people and make sure that I'm truly engaging them. Because we know for a fact that Pacifica youth, especially in South Auckland, aren't as engaged they should be. They don't vote. And that's mostly because of a lack of education and lack of resources, and we don't do our best to engage them. We have material hardships, and we also have the idea that we don't know enough to make a change. And I think that's something that I'd really want to tackle. How do we educate our Pacifica young Pacifica people without making them feel that they're not a part of the community?
It's interesting. So just teasing out, we quite often hear that it's very difficult for people to sort of maintain an eye on voting when they don't know if they're going to be sleeping in a car at the weekend, or they don't know whether they're going to be able to put food on the table. If a young person has had to go out to work really early and working weird shifts and things like that, they may be a little bit out of the mainstream, but they're trying to help their family. It might be necessary for the family. But you've also said that young people feel, Pacifica young people perhaps in particular, sometimes feel that they don't know enough.
Absolutely.
So where do you think that comes from, and how would you like to address that? Do you think it's a confidence thing or an information thing?
It is absolutely an information thing.
Okay.
I was at a Lebanese Fono, and we sat together and we went around the table and everyone said, I would like to know more because I don't know enough. Lativa did a really good job in informing us how the government works and how the parliament works. And I think what we're doing is failing to educate our young people how the government works.
Mm.
And Lativa said this really important thing, and she said, your vote is just the same as any other person's vote in the country.
Mm.
You could be the poorest person, but your vote is the same as the rich person's vote. Mm. It's one vote, and your voice matters just as much as theirs.
Absolutely. That's fascinating. And so that's really a call perhaps for civics education and proper education within our education tertiary, or probably even intermediate, starting in intermediate, about how the government works and the importance of each voice.
Absolutely, because we know that, like, what happens at the highest level affects the people that are at the bottom the most. The most vulnerable people get affected by the policy changes and schemes the most.
Yes, yeah. So you've got another whole sort of education string coming to your bow as well. It'll be very interesting to see whether that gets teased out, I think, when you go down to Wellington. And do you have any idea about what some of your other youth MPs might be raising in a general debate at this point? Or is it all going to be, is it a big reveal when you get to Wellington?
I've become really good friends with my fellow youth MP, Ala, who's a youth MP for Mangere.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one of her biggest concerns is youth well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also chosen to be a part of the general debate. However, she is holding a youth phone on the 26th of April, and it will be interesting to see what information she gathers from there.
Absolutely. So if young people wanted to come to your youth phone, and I know you don't quite have the date yet, I'm wondering about how they would find the information out about that. So would it be, for example, perhaps on your MP Jenny Celeste's Facebook page, something like that, or would there be a call out to the media? How are you planning on promoting your whānau?
Initially, what I'm planning to do is make a Facebook event and invite the Pacifica people on my... Well, I should correct myself, it's not just for Pacifica people, it's for all the young people in the Manukau East electorate office area. And I would make a Facebook event, invite the people that I already know, and then leave a description where it says that it's open to all young people living in this electorate house. I also planned on sending out emails to our schools in our area.
Awesome.
And with the help of Taisa, who said, we'll grab people from the bus stop.
So you've got a volunteer community outreach organizer helping you just reach out. That's amazing. So I advise people to keep an eye on Facebook. Probably coming into late April, beginning of May, there will be a youth voice whānau for young people, and your youth MP is intending to take your views down to Wellington, down to Parliament in July. Look, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I really wish you the best of luck with your whānau and then with your time in Wellington. It sounds like you're grasping the opportunity with both hands, which is really exciting to see.
Thank you for having me here, Christine.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Now, I'm just going to move on because in terms of supporting young people, there's quite a lot else going on in the community at the moment. The Mangere o Tāhahu Youth Scholarships are still open. They're open until Friday this week. And if you're between 14 and 24, you live in or attend school within the Mangere o Tāhahu local board area, and you have a community action or project, be it arts project, heritage, sports, that will develop leadership, will show your leadership skills, or will support other young people to develop leadership skills, you can apply for a grant of up to $2,000 to support you. So the details, the links for that Youth Scholarship Award will be on the Planet FM website and on the Red Alert Facebook page after the show's gone to air. Our sister board, the Otara Papatoi Local Board, Otara Papatoi Toi Local Board, also has open their Excellence Awards, and they are open until the 28th of June. Again, the grant value runs from $150 to $2,000. That local board is particularly interested in supporting local residents and organisations who want to represent their area to demonstrate their excellence through conference or events. And it will also recognise and celebrate the contributions of the local applicants. They want to allow particularly young people, but it could be a wider range of people, to build capacity in serving the community, and they want to promote diverse participation in local government and civic life. So that's exactly the kind of issues, in fact, that you're taking, Chanel, up to Parliament, isn't it? The other thing that's open for youth in the Mangere o Tahu area, the Mangere o Tahu Junior Sports Award nominations are open. They're going to be open until Monday, the 20th of May. Until Sunday, the 5th of May, and the awards are on the 20th of May. So if you have a young person in your family or your school or church community who is an outstanding sports person, either a player or an administrative person, perhaps even a coach, they can be nominated for an award, and outstanding teams in the area can be nominated for awards. The period for the qualifying period is the 1st of January last year to the 31st of December last year, and entering the sports awards, or nominating actually others for the sports awards, is free. So the link will be on the Red Alert Facebook page, the website, and also the local board's Facebook page. The local board, Mangere o Tahu local board quick response grants are also open. So again, if you have a project that needs support for under $2,000, those grants are open and they close on the 10th of May. The other things that are happening at the moment, there's a lot of council consultation going on. So there's water consultation on water and purity of water and the environment, which are about to close, but there's still time to have your say on that. And the thing that's been getting a lot of people quite hot under the collar, policy on dogs. So council is restructuring its policy on dogs to make it easier to understand, and particularly how to handle dangerous dogs and dogs that escape and aren't under control at all times. But the one that gets people really riled up is where dogs can be exercised on leash and particularly off leash at various times of the year. So there is a new bylaw coming through and new policies on dogs. You can find that on the Auckland Council website, and there will be a public meeting in Onehunga on the 4th of May where people can actually talk to individuals about that. So lots going on. Keep your eye on your local board Facebook pages, on the Auckland Council Have Your Say website, where all of the current consultations are open for your comments. People really want to hear from you in developing the future and the way that things are done in our particular area. And finally, I just want to say once again, Chanel, thank you so much for coming on the show. Any last thoughts? She said, throwing it out of left field, straight at him like that.
I mean, all I want to say is that I'm really interested in hearing from the young people in my electorate office area, and I'm really looking forward to working with them. Thank you for having me.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. So once again, everybody, if you're interested in having a part in that youth whānau in the Manukau East area, which is essentially Ōtara, Papatoetoe and Ōtahuhu, keep an eye on your MP's Facebook page and keep an eye on Facebook for the event. You'll also find that people in your networks will start talking about it pretty quickly, I think, because it sounds like it's going to spread pretty virally quite quickly as soon as the details are completely sorted. So that's, I think, all for this edition of Red Alert. And I encourage people to come to the local Anzac Day. It'd be wonderful to have a great show of support at your local dawn service, if there is one, or please join in the civic services. Once again, the only civic service in the Manukau ward will be assembly at 9:15 for 9:30 at the Ōtahuhu Monument on Great South Road. Really hoping to see you there and supporting our local RSA and remembering those that fought for the freedoms that we now enjoy. Kia ora.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.au.